All right, welcome everybody. It's really good to see all of your smiling faces back at the end of such a beautiful day. At least I've enjoyed the weather outside. Amazing time of year. Tonight's going to be a little bit different than our normal format. So let me give you a bit of an introduction. We in our country are extremely blessed to have easy access to God's Word, right? We've got multiple Bibles on our shelves. I carry mine around in my phone, as I'm sure many of you do. And God's Word is a help in everyday life. In fact, each moment of each day, I know we could find something from His Word that meets us where we are. And so it's a blessing when we can share Scripture with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe you do that through text message. Maybe you share that in person. Maybe you write it in a note and send it. But tonight, what we're going to do is share Scripture. I've asked five different guys to think about their favorite verse or a life verse and be prepared to share that with all of you. So I'm looking forward to hearing from each one. In just a moment, we'll let Mike come up, and then Dave, Stephen, Byron, and Creston, you can simply follow each other in that order. And we're looking forward to hearing what the Lord's laid on your heart this evening. All right, Mike, I'll turn it over to you.
Landon up to help me with the verse. Okay, you ready? Joshua 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Get back to mommy. Believe it or not, he does know the verse. But okay, so that was from Joshua 1, verse 9. A lot of you guys know the story about Landon, but not everybody here probably does, so I'll kind of just give you guys a history on him. Landon will be 4 in October. Before he was born, Rachel and I came up with this verse for him. And initially, I was kind of like, no, I don't want to do that verse. It's kind of like a cliche verse. Everybody, you know, uses it, especially for a boy. But we stuck with it, and I'm glad that we did. Because little did we know, 2 years later, Landon was 2 at the time, he would break his leg. So Colette was a week old. Colette's our youngest. She'll be a year in 2 weeks. So just about a year ago, it was a week after she was born. I was pressure washing the pool fence. Landon tripped over the hose on the concrete and broke his femur, completely snapped it in half. There was no partial break. It was completely broken. Thankfully, it didn't go through the skin. So this verse was very important for our family, for Landon, for me, for Rachel, to get through the time that we had. So I'll just kind of talk a little bit about that. Obviously, Landon was in pain. Even just the day that his leg broke, we were in the ER probably about like 6 hours, and I just sat there holding his leg, trying to hold it in one position, and he would just, any little movement, he would scream. For the first probably month after his leg broke, he would wake up probably every 30 minutes. That might even be probably even sooner than that, earlier stages, and just wake up screaming. It would take about 3 hours to fall asleep, and then he'd maybe get 15 minutes of sleep and wake up screaming in pain again. As he started to heal, he then started to get frustrated because of summer. It was hot. He wanted to be out running around with his friends. He was stuck in a cast that went from his chest to his ankle. And so this verse got us through. I remember talking a lot with Landon, you know, be strong, be courageous. Like, this is your verse. I remember we would take him up and like, look, see, there's your verse on the wall. We have it hanging right above his crib. So maybe we shouldn't have chosen the verse for him. But some things that I just kind of have taken from the verse, depending on the version, some of them use the word Jehovah. Jehovah would mean like the eternal one, unchanging one, the one who is and is to come. which means it's also the holiest word that there is for God, which to me just reminds me to be strong and courageous, because He is the Eternal One. He was and He is. So who better is there for me to put my faith in and to be courageous than the person who was and is to come? Do not tremble or be discouraged, especially for all of us. We all things that we can be discouraged about these days, regardless of whether it's a broken leg or if it's just work. Not trembling, not being discouraged, putting our trust in the Lord. And I think it's really easy for us to know the verse. It's another thing for us to actually believe it and apply it. We all know it. Yeah. And then just, there's lots of references about being strong and courageous in the Bible, but just two verses that I found. So 2 Chronicles, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king Azariah and the vast army with him. And then this is what I kind of took from that verse. There is no greater power with us than with him. So when we are putting our faith in the Lord, it's almost like we have, I don't know, like a wild card in Uno, or a Joker card or something. Like, we have the ultimate power. So there is no greater power than when we have him on our side. And then Deuteronomy 31 verse 8, the Lord is the one who goes ahead of me. Ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fall or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. So over the course of that time, we obviously had lots of doctor's appointments. And, you know, you never know what you're going to find. Next x-ray, follow, like, we got second opinions from surgeons and stuff. But going into the next appointment ahead of time, just knowing the Lord, he's already prepared this appointment. He's already set the groundwork for how it's going to go. So I can be strong. We could be strong and courageous because of that, because the Lord had already gone ahead and prepared the way. So in conclusion, what I'm hoping you guys can take away from that verse, just that was really special to us this past year. No matter what situation you are in, you can be strong and courageous and not be dismayed, because the Lord is on our side. He was, and he is, and he is to come. He's all-knowing, so who better of a person for us to trust in? And also just be cautious what verses you choose for your kids.
Never thought much about having a favorite verse. I like an awful lot of them, and I believe all of them. But I have the same as Gerald Cornball, and that's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So you might turn there if you have your Bibles. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Let me just read it. I can quote it, but let me read it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Came across that verse in the York newspaper about 60-some years ago, and I didn't read the Bible at that time. I was in my late teens, little verse, about so big, just said Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I had quoted it, and then it said Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I cut it out and put it in my wallet. It's quite brown now. It was stuck to my wife's picture for a long time, but it's in there yet. But trust in the Lord with all your heart. And I look back, I was not a Christian. How much was I trusting in the Lord? I don't know. All I know is I went a lot of places I shouldn't have gone. I did a lot of things I shouldn't have done. After that, it didn't bother me a bit. I was a quite successful sinner. And time passed. I joined the army, found myself in Germany, and the girl I was hoping to marry stopped writing to me. So what do you do about that? Well, I sent a certified letter and got a signature back. That was the end of that, okay? So I also then wrote home to a friend and asked if he knew any girls who would like to write to a soldier. Lo and behold, Kay Tarman, later Kay Slaughterback, began writing to me, or I began writing to her. We corresponded. Came home, got married, had a couple little girls, and I used to work on my car in the alley behind my house, and an old retired Presbyterian missionary would walk down the street, down the alley, and you ought to get those girls baptized. Now, I would never tell somebody to get their baby baptized. But he did, and I did. Okay, we joined the Methodist Church, got our girls baptized. We were not Christians, as I know Christian now. But We joined the Methodist Church, had our girls baptized, and would go to Sunday school from time to time, and we had a Sunday school teacher who was a Christian, and began to have little interest in the Bible, although I didn't read it. Sometimes I would open my dad's Bible on the dresser, and I'd read something about an eagle in a tree in Lebanon, whatever that means, and close it back out. It's Ezekiel 17, by the way. But I had no idea what that parable meant back then. But somewhere along the line came into my mind, I probably should read through the Bible. And being a York County Dutchman, I thought, I'll do it in a year. I'm going to determine how much I need to read each day. Lo and behold, sometime around this time in 1972, I started and finished in spring of 73. During that time, we would go to church about every third Sunday. And one Sunday morning, I turned on the TV, and there's a so-called faith healer, Catherine Kuhlman. Some of you older folks might remember that name. And she was interviewing a man by the name of Hal Lindsey, who had written a book just a year or two before called The Late Great Planet Earth. Sound intriguing. I bought the book. So I read the New Testament first, made no sense. Read the Old Testament, made no sense except God hates adultery. Not my sin, thank you. Well, so I thought. Not physically my sin. But I'm reading through the Old Testament prophets, and I'm reading The Late Great Planet Earth, which talks, it's a commentary in the book of Revelation, talking about Jesus coming back at the rapture and taking away those that are his and leaving the rest. And I was scared, 28 years of age. And the book said something to the effect, if you're scared now, you don't need to be, just ask Jesus into your heart. I prayed a simple prayer like that. The fear passed. A few days later, I had the mumps, by the way, at 28. So a few days later, I'm out washing my car, and a friend came by and said, Dave, how is it between you and the Lord? I said, Bob, I just asked Jesus into my heart. He said, that's how you're born again. Never heard that. I'm sure it was said. I never heard it. Now, I had believed that I was a sinner, that Jesus died in my place, that he rose from the dead, that he was coming again. I had a one-way with Christ bumper sticker on my Buick convertible. I did not know him. So the faith that I had, trusting the Lord with all your heart, was not saving faith. There's levels of faith, belief, trust, okay? So, but now, since I've called upon the Lord Jesus, the Bible began to make some sense, and I found I cannot sin successfully anymore. It used to be I could go and do things and didn't bother me a bit. But now I find out that I have the Holy Spirit living within me, and his business is to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. It's sin because of not believing in Jesus. Okay, I had been there. Of righteousness because he goes to the Father, and of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. But he also brings our attention to Christians when we sin, and we can't do it successfully. So what Bobby talked about here on last Sunday, about that conflict, that Romans chapter 7 conflict. Oh, now I'm experiencing that. Something has happened in my life. Okay. So now Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 begin to make a little more sense. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Well, now I'm trusting in him as Savior with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Well, if I don't lean on my understanding, I've always made my own decisions. Whose understanding am I going to lean on? Well, I leaned on that retired Presbyterian missionary's comment, get your babies baptized. Okay, your little children baptized. I don't know if that was good advice, but nevertheless, well, I know it wasn't good advice, but the Lord used it in spite of that. But we can go to wiser men and women for counsel, but ultimately, if you're not going to lean on your own understanding, you need to go to the Word of God. Okay? Because what God has to say to us, he has said. It's in his book. We need to read it, apply it to our lives. So now that makes sense. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Now we come to another point. Even though we may know what the Bible says, sometimes we don't want to do what the Bible says. And yet, if we're going to acknowledge him in all our ways, we're going to acknowledge him as Lord, as Master. And I'm not quite sure how all that works together, but Romans 10:9 and 10 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus as Lord, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Okay, that's saving faith. But there's a point somewhere along the line where you need to acknowledge him as Master. Not just God, he is God, he's Lord, but as Master. I was saved in the spring of 73 by around Christmas time of 73. I'm dropping a letter in the mail to apply to Bible college. Okay, that was when I acknowledged he was Lord. And I try to acknowledge him as Lord in all that I do. It doesn't mean I never do things that I did not acknowledge him as Lord. I hope I don't, but I do, and I do it all the time. That's that struggle, Romans chapter 7. But now, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust him day by day, moment by moment. Lean not to your own understanding. Go to see what his word says and how his spirit gives you peace in doing something, or the old saying, if you're in doubt, don't, in doing something. In all your ways, acknowledge him. How does it match the scriptures? And he shall direct your paths. Now I can look back 60 years ago, cutting out a little Bible verse. He has directed my paths. And I could stand here for hours and tell you in some of the ways he's directed them. I don't have time for that. Josh limited me to 10 minutes. Okay. No, he didn't. He said, say as long as you want, but I won't do that. An old story, if you see a preacher take his watch off and lay it on the pulpit, and then later he picks it up, what does that mean? Absolutely nothing. Because he just keeps on going. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stop. But young people, let me encourage you. Whether this becomes your life verse or not, follow what it says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. The just shall live by faith. Now, yeah, we were saved by faith, but we live by faith. With all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. Consider what God has to say about it. All your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him as Lord. He has the best plan for your life. And again, you know, I'm 78 years old. I'm a widower of 3 months. I don't know what the days ahead hold. I know what I would like, but what does God want? That's the important thing. So let me just encourage you there. And he shall. He will direct your paths. And you'll be able to be, if you live long enough to be an old man like me and look back and say, yeah, look what he's done. There's a song, Christian song, I wish I could sing it. Oh, what you've done. Some of you younger folks know that song. It's good.
First time ever standing up in front of a bunch of people. I'm pretty nervous. I really appreciate all the guys who can do this on a regular basis. So. The verse I picked was Isaiah 43:2. That has a pretty good meaning to me. I'll read the verse first. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flames kindle upon thee. When I first came to know the Lord, it's only a few years ago, because for the longest time I lived a pretty worldly life before I came to know him. So a few years ago, I came to know the Lord, to truly know the Lord. And one of the first things I did was I went and I wanted to look for a Bible, see if I still had a Bible somewhere. So I went to the basement, I went through all my boxes, and I did end up finding this new Bible. I couldn't find my old one, but I found this one that I had completely forgotten about. My mom gave it to me, I believe for my birthday. And I didn't spend any time reading it or looking in it. And she wrote two things in the front. When I first opened it up, I noticed she wrote, "This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book." And I completely identified with that. I felt that pretty hard right away. I knew that to be true, personally. The other thing she wrote was that her favorite verse was Isaiah 43:2. So when I first opened up my Bible, that's the first verse I went to in this new Bible, and I had been going through these fires, and I've been going through these rivers, and as soon as I read that verse, I felt overwhelming peace from that. And it really meant a lot, and I will always remember like every detail of that moment when I first opened the Bible and read that verse for the first time. So I think it means a lot to have the Lord with you in the hard times. And it really helps you helped me to really be at peace, especially in hard times. So that's it.
How's everyone doing tonight? So a verse I chose was John 14:6, and I chose it because it says about Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except me. And I want to tell a little bit about the verse. It's my favorite because it's telling us that Jesus is the way and to heaven, and tell about the truth, and we should follow him. Jesus tells us the truth in scripture, and if we're not sure if some we find online is not right or doesn't match up, we go into scripture and the truth would be right there. And so the life, I think of life is God's given us life, creation he's made, and I think it's wonderful that I can see his creation he's made in life, and so I think it's a powerful scripture, because if someone's not sure how to get to heaven, I think it's a good one to tell someone, because John 3:16 is a really good one. But I think for me, I would tell someone to look in John 14:6, because I would say them every day about this verse, because it's powerful and it's meaningful, and tell someone about the truth. And Jesus is the way. We go to him. No, we should not go to the Father except him, because Jesus is the Son, and we should believe and follow him, and should follow him to get to heaven. So.
Wrote down a brief sort of synopsis of each of the verses that were read, much like in a morning meeting. Sometimes I just kind of sit back and listen, and I know Michelle writes down every morning. I see her always writing down in the Lord's Supper thoughts, and I wonder how many times you go back and you see the Spirit of God just working through each one, and how the comments and the verses, and we didn't talk about these verses. I didn't know what they were going to share until Josh hands me the list of where I was coming in, and I saw the verses. And so it started out, Mike's talking about the Lord is with you wherever you go, wherever you go, never leaving nor forsaking, always with us, right? And knows our plans well before we ever do, I can promise you that. Dave shared that in all of your ways, these ways in which he leads us, we need to acknowledge him. And if we do so, we will be blessed to know that he is the one in control of everything. Stephen shared that when I pass through the waters, the trials of life, I'll be with you. And then Byron just shared that that the Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. And I think there's a theme there. There's a theme. And then the verse that I wanted to share takes me back to, I was probably 8 or 9 years old, I think. And we had a memory verse program at the chapel that I grew up there in Baltimore. And Ruth Peverell was the person I had to say my verse to every week. And she would track me down, usually. Creston, you have your verse. And I'm scattering, I'm running through the chapel, and she'd grab me by the collar, and I would say my verse. And this is the verse, I think, out of all the many verses that we'd say, we have to say one a week, and she would track me down and check it off and give me a little Snickers bar with it. Colossians 3:23 and 24. And I don't know if anybody else has this as a favorite. I can't say this is my absolute favorite because I'm like Dave. I think I could open Scripture and tell you about every page that there's a favorite verse I have highlighted. But this one here, I think I live my life, I tried to live my life by as much as any other. And it's actually two verses. But chapter 3 of Colossians, verse 23 and 24. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus. And when I think of that verse and how that has affected me through my life, there were times when I didn't put my full effort into things. I think we all probably can admit to that. We probably should have studied a little harder or maybe put a little bit more effort into something. And then the results, of course, is the fruit of your labor. Sometimes you don't quite get what you invest in that. And if you invest little, you get little. And I think that that perhaps is where I would, as I talk to some of the younger people in here and some of those who are raising families, the more effort you put into a task, if it's for the right reason, the Lord will reward it richly, beyond what you could ever imagine. Because He knows our ways before we ever pass through them. He knows what effort we have before we ever attempt it. And He knows if we did it for the right reasons, for the right, if you will, master. Right? So if you're doing it for self, then the glory is in the mirror. If you're doing it for the Lord, the glory is reflected to others, and what they see is the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. That idea of when it says, whatever you do, that concept of whatever can be teaching, it can be raising children, it can be work, wherever you work, you know, it could be that, the influence you have on other people around you, it can be through meditation. Whatever you do, if you meditate with the Lord Jesus Christ as your focus, that is work. That is doing something for the Lord. And whatever you do, and I shouldn't say it's work, it's doing, right? And whatever you do, it might be prayer. It might be working. It might be eating, right? Preparing food. It might be coaching younger people, perhaps. It might even be resting. And that idea of whatever you find yourself in, if you're doing it for the glory of the Lord, for His honor, that is what that's speaking of. And then it says, and whatever you do, do it. And that might be something like, do it with all your energy. That's where that word kind of comes from. Do it with every ounce of energy you have. It might be doing it with appreciation. It might be doing it with joy. That word, with all your heart, or some versions might say heartily, it's doing it cheerfully. Boy, I can't say that everything I do cheerfully. But I have to go back and I reflect on a verse like this, and I say to myself, did I work today cheerfully, or did I grumble half the day? Did I raise my children cheerfully, or did I grumble at them all day long? Or this person I might be mentoring, did I do it with a heart of joy, or because I felt like I had to? Maybe it's that idea of doing it with hope, because we have a hope. We have a hope that is everlasting, that is reassuring, that is something that we can look forward to with confidence. And then lastly, of course, that idea of doing it heartily means doing it with all of your heart, right? I think that's pretty obvious, doing it with all of your heart. And again, I might challenge myself, as perhaps with you, if you look back on your work week last week, or whatever you were involved in, whether it was, again, raising children, or if it was your prayer life that you're working on, or maybe it was your quiet time life that you're working on, did you do it with all your heart? And that's that verse. That's what that verse is speaking of. Did you do it with all your heart? And then it says, as to the Lord. Not unto men, for the glory is not for ourselves. It's the glory is not for others. If we're doing something so that we might look good for others, or that we might be afraid of how we're going to be seen by others, we might want to reflect on why we're doing it. and perhaps change our vision, right? Change our scope and our focus and our end result. If it's not because we're focusing on appearance or pride, we need to look at our lives in the light of this type of verse and say, knowing that the Lord is our, if I would use the term, absolute employer. So I have employers. I've had employers throughout my life. I know Scott's probably had a couple different employers throughout his life. Everybody in this room has had somebody they've worked for at some time or the other. But the Lord is above every single employer we ever had. So although we're working, I always think about this when I go to work. Although I'm working for the person who hired me, I'm not really working for them. I'm working for the Lord, right? That's how I look at it. So I kind of go, it's interesting because I have conversations sometimes with people who I guess are my boss, and I'm always kind of thinking about, like, what's beyond that? Like, who am I really working for? Am I doing this for the honor of the Lord or to look good in front of my boss? And that's what I always kind of like go back to. And I think that's how the Lord wants us to look at life in this, not that we disrespect in any way our employer, but we have an employer who's much more important, who knows our heart, knows how hard we're working, knows our interests, and knows why we're doing things. Because the reward, this is the why behind it, the reward is that we might that we are getting the inheritance, that we're receiving the inheritance because we serve the Lord Christ. And that inheritance that we're looking forward to, that I'm looking forward to, I know I have. I'm working for an inheritance that I have already. And I'm almost working in appreciation. When you receive something and you haven't even done the work for it yet, you feel like you have to work pretty hard to show, hey, I really appreciate that. And if we have not that attitude because we're receiving the inheritance of salvation, wow, shame on us for that. Because we should be doing everything we absolutely can. I should be doing everything I absolutely can to show the Lord I'm thankful for the salvation that I have in him. And that's a life verse for me. So I think that goes well with what the other brothers shared. And I'm sure that each one of us in here probably has a life verse or a favorite verse or two that we could share as well. So thank you for your time. I guess I'll close in prayer. Does that sound good? All right. Our Father God, thank you again for the opportunity just to listen to how the Lord has used verses in Scripture. Whether it's Old Testament or New, it matters not because it's all written by the same author. The same God wrote each word, selected each verse specifically, Father. And each one of us is a little bit different. Each one of us has different experiences in life. And there are times in our lives which certain verses that we read pop out off the page and impact our lives and change us and help reassure us and perhaps take away the anxiety and the fear and the worry that goes with that day. And you give us just what we need, Lord. So we thank you for the Scriptures. We thank you that you know our hearts. But Lord, even today, we just pray that you would take these verses, help us to feel the passion behind each one. Help us, Lord, to work for you. Help us to focus only on the Lord Jesus Christ in all that we do. And we know also, Lord, that you, although we don't deserve it, you give us far beyond what we could ever ask, imagine, or think. And so we thank you for that, Lord. And we just pray that as we go through this week, that, Lord, you would take these words and perhaps other words as we read and we study and we allow the Spirit of God to change our lives and to influence us and to turn us more into the reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we just pray for that in Jesus' name.